guys, I hope you're excited. When you see the title, you might think, oh no, maybe not. But I can assure you it's going to be great stuff. We are actually going through the letter of Galatians at the moment. And honestly, it's one of the letters in the Bible that can totally transform your life, because it teaches about what does it mean to live through by the Spirit, you know, and to live the gospel of grace. So I really, really encourage you to follow what we're doing and read the chapters as we're going along, because honestly, it can totally change your life. This letter changed my life, for sure. And basically, we're going bit by bit, and we're trying to unpack maybe the more difficult passage to make sure that we understand them rightly, but most of all, we want to live them. Understand with the head is not enough, right? We want to live the gospel of Christ, to live and walk by the Spirit. Okay, who is with me with that?
Amen.
Just checking, you're not sleeping. Okay, cool. So I'm following on what Jamie preached last week, because this Galatians 3, we chopped it in a different section, and Jamie saw last week that Christ was the promise made to Abraham. So do you remember in Genesis 26, verse 4, when Abraham had this word from God that his descendants will be as numerous than the stars in the sky? Do you know this passage here? And it is a huge promise to Abraham that all the nations, that many nations are going to be blessed through his seed. Okay, so that's what we've seen last week. And actually, it's interesting in the Bible when it says his seed, it's singular. Because really, the seed of Abraham is Jesus.
Amen.
So actually, the seed of Abraham is Jesus, and through Jesus, many, many nations were blessed. So it's a very interesting thing, because the promise was indeed even bigger than what Abraham could imagine. Because when he heard that promise, he probably thought, oh, great, I'm going to have a son for sure. Oh, great, for sure, I will have many descendants. But actually, the promise was even bigger than he could imagine, because it was not just his descendant, but it was all the nations that were going to be blessed through Jesus Christ. What a promise. What a promise he received. So Paul continued the argument, and Jimmy unpacked that last week, that the inheritance of Abraham was given by grace through a promise. Abraham didn't do anything to deserve that promise. It was given by grace, okay? But, and then 430 years later, the law came, okay? Moses, the Ten Commandments, etc., and then many other things. So 430 years later it came. But he didn't cancel the promise. Abraham still had the promise. Right? So God's blessing to Abraham was never conditional to him following the law. Did you get that?
Yeah.
It was never conditional to following the law set by Moses. It always depended on the promise he had received. And the blessing, we know it was told, it would come through his seed, which we know then was Jesus Christ. Okay? So everything, actually, this is just a little thing, but everything in the Old Testament point to the coming of Christ. It's very important to get, because some Christians get stuck in the Old Testament. But everything in the Old Testament points to the coming of Christ and the new covenant and relationship we are with Christ. So then the question comes, if we are saved by faith through Jesus Christ, okay? First line here, the question comes in verse 19. Why then was the law given at all? Why did we get the law? What was the purpose of the law? And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. Okay? So I'm looking at specifically at this passage. Would that help people if we read it? Yes? Is there a good reader?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Remy, because my accent is crap when I read.
No, it is.
So
no.
Please do.
Why then was the law given at all? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party, but God is one. Is the law, therefore, opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian.
That's good. Some people got it already. That's great. I don't need to preach by. Okay, great. Have you ever seen a sign like this? Do not walk onto the grass. Have you ever seen a sign like this? What is your first reaction?
Walk on the grass.
Who said so? Who said so? Actually, the most rebellious among us would say, don't care. Yeah? And others would say, what? Oh, shame. Why? Because I want to, you know what I'm saying? There's a reaction a little bit, yeah? You see, the law brings out our rebellious hearts. You know, this part of our hearts who want to be our own God. A little bit like Adam in the garden. They said, do not eat that. Yeah. Who said so, you know? So basically, the law has a function. If there was no sign at all on that grass, okay, I can decide to cross the law, play football, have a picnic. If there's no signs, there's no transgression. I'm good. I'm cool. Nothing is wrong with me. Nothing is wrong with me at all if there's no sign. Do you see that? It's because there is a rule that I know I've broken it. It's because there's a rule that I know I'm guilty and something in my heart needs to change. So you see, when the first verse 19 says the law was given because of our transgression, this is really my first point. In the same way that my green grass sign reveals my rebellious heart, the law was given to reveal our sinful nature. That is the purpose of the law. Our need of God is revealed when we're confronted by the law. Can you see that? Let me just change my sign. So that's my first point. It's even more obvious when we look at all the laws that were given by Moses and we're thinking, oh, can't do that one. You know, do not murder. I mean, a lot of us find that really cool to observe, right? We say, oh, it's fine. This one, good, we're good. But you know, you don't lie, do you steal, you know, this is getting harder and harder and harder as you contemplate all the rules and regulations that came into place. So, we can try hard to get justified by perfectly keeping all the commandments, but at the end we realize we just can't. So the law was to do that job, to reveal our sinful nature that by our own effort we just cannot do it. We just cannot do it. It points to the need of a savior, a need of Jesus. Actually, it's really interesting. If you are now Christian and you follow what Jesus says, I would say if you try to live by the law, it's even harder. Why is it even harder? Because Jesus even asked higher standard. Have you ever read the Sermon on the Mount?
Yeah.
Have you read that? So Jesus would be like, remember, Old Testament, it says, do not commit adultery. Now he says, by the way, now, if you just look at somebody lustfully, that's it. You've committed adultery in your heart. What? So now it's not even about my behavior, but that's about my heart.
Amen.
flipping neck. And then he says, oh, this one is good. Listen, he says, you shall not murder. But now, if you just talk to your brother in an angry manner, it's like you're committing murder. You know, and oh, by the way, I'm just telling you now, you are called to love your enemies. All right, Jesus? You know, we know it's impossible. So it's impossible without living by the Spirit. It's impossible without being full of Him. It's impossible. So you see, the law always had the function to reveal our need of Jesus and point out to the promise of the Jesus coming. And now, I would say, it has the function to remind us that we need to be changed by Him. We need Him still. We have been saved by grace,
Amen.
But now we need to live in the grace of the gospel.
Amen.
That means really surrendering with Holy Spirit,
yes.
And getting changed by Him within us, not by imposing rules on us.
Mm.
Yeah? So now, the second thing I would like to say about the law is the purpose and the effectiveness of the law was only meant to be temporal for a short moment until Jesus comes. Actually, when you read the passage, let me show you, because I put it in red in my passage. If it ever change, here we go. Oops. Until Christ, until the seed comes. Can you see this until in red?
Yes.
The law was only meant
yes.
to be yeah. until the promises
yeah, yeah.
come. Okay? It was given. Change it, just change it for me. It was given by the angels entrusted to a mediator, which is Moses.
Beautiful.
Okay? For an interim period.
Yes.
So that's the interim period. So Abraham. Moses gives the law, but it's only valid for that period of time. When Jesus comes, that's it.
Hmm.
There's no purpose for the law then. Okay? Because what happened is, and it says in the passage very clearly, the law itself has no power. Okay? If it could impart life, we should really follow it like and hope for righteousness. But actually, the law cannot impart righteousness. Only Jesus can give us salvation and righteousness. Can you see that? So the law does not make us righteous, it just points out of our need of the Savior who will make us righteous. Okay? The law cannot get rid of our sinful nature. Only Jesus can.
Hallelujah.
So it was only for a short period of time to point to Christ. Okay? Now, next slide, my love. Now, is it to say that the law is not good? No, the law is very good. The law is very good because Paul says it was holding us under custody. What does that mean to be held under custody? Well, it's like being at school. It's like you have a guardian or you have a schoolmaster and they teach you how to behave. And they set boundaries, and they teach you right or wrong. That was what he says, we were under the custody of the law. So the law was our guardian or our teacher. That's what it means. That means the law still tells us this is right, this is wrong. Actually, there's boundaries. You really shouldn't be doing this. The law is teaching us boundaries. So
Amen.
The law in itself is good.
Yes.
Can we see that?
Yes.
It's good. Like, for example, how does a child know to not lie? How does a child know to be respectful, to not steal?
Amen.
That's because it's been taught some principle.
Yes.
Okay, so the child, it's taught some principle. The law was doing that. The law was like our guardian, our teacher. It was showing us godly principle. It was showing us how to behave. It was setting some boundaries. But in effect, it cannot impart your life. Can you see that?
Amen.
Think a little bit about society in general. How would it look like if we did not have laws? Remy, how would it look like?
Chaos.
chaos, absolute chaos, anarchy, right? Like everybody could do whatever they want, no punishment. It would be absolutely ungodly, I can guarantee. And there would be no, well, I think the law is for the good of the people. It's for protection. For some kind of order. You know, I'm not saying all the laws are perfect, by the way. I'm not making a comment on any of that. I'm just giving you an illustration, okay? So the laws are supposed to give us an indication of what is right, what is wrong, keep us in line with good stuff for our own good and for others.
Amen.
So we would live in good harmony.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And actually, it's quite interesting because there's a passage in the New Testament who says Jesus didn't come to abolish the law.
That's right.
But to fulfill the law.
Beautiful.
What does that mean? What that basically what it means is Jesus came to take an imperfect system that can't change you, that cannot change you from within, that only sets boundaries for your good. So he came to take that imperfect system, because he perfectly embodies the laws himself. So he's able to take this imperfect system and set a new one. Where he comes to you, he comes to your heart.
Amen.
And then he makes us like him. Him who perfectly fulfilled the law. He who is perfect. Was actually the perfect embodiment of the law. Can you see what's happening? Yeah? So he didn't abolish the law, he came to fulfill it. He gave us a way that we could follow the law by nature. You see, when we were in sin, we couldn't do it. We just couldn't do it. But what we do now, we trust in his righteousness. So he fulfilled the law because we couldn't. But now he will empower us. It's like he's giving us another DNA, right?
Amen.
So now with this new nature, we can actually follow the law. All we have to do is love him,
Amen.
Surrender, and learn how it is to live by the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay. So that's my fourth point here. The law has now fulfilled its purpose. We're in a new era, okay? The law was pointing up to Christ, the need of Christ. Now the promise has been fulfilled and our relationship with God has changed. We have transitioned from the old covenant to the new covenant. We have a different relationship with God. Okay? In the words of Jeremiah 31, verse 33, and Ezekiel 35 and 26, we have received a new heart and a new spirit. God has removed our heart of stone. So that means, you see, before we were very unreceptive, we were dead. Now we have a new heart by the Spirit. It's a heart that is sensitive. It's a heart where the laws are written in this heart.
Amen.
The laws is written in our new heart.
Yeah.
So naturally we're sensitive to the good stuff.
Yeah.
The our new nature make us sensitive to the good stuff. You know, a heart that is sensitive to God. Have you noticed when we become Christian, there are things we just can't get into anymore? Has it happened to you? Have you ever done something and you're thinking, I know I shouldn't be doing that. Put your hand up. Is everybody, all of us, I think, yeah? Because if you're Christian, you know, you would go, you know, Jesus isn't there. He's very good at whispering stuff, you know? And actually, when we find ourselves entangled in stuff we shouldn't be entangled with, oh boy, your conscience, does it not scream?
Yep.
Does it not scream? We go like, oh yeah. You know, I remember as a teenager, there was a period I didn't follow God.
And it was the most depressing time of my life because I knew the truth. I was born again. I was born again. And I was not following God. And I was so depressed. I was so depressed because, you know, but what I realized preparing this preach is, you see, I had been saved by grace.
Amen.
But I was not living in the gospel of grace.
Mm.
So what happened is I still had a really marvelous relationship with the law.
Mm.
When you have a, still a relationship with the law and not, say you're saved by grace, but then now you go to the law. If you have still a vivid relationship with the law, you still see God as a punisher.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? Because you were in the Old Testament, so you're like, you're saved by grace, thank you Jesus, yes, you died on the cross. But then you say, oh, I shouldn't do this, stop doing this and stop doing this. And you feel guilty because you've not understood Jesus died for that sin.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not understanding that you're meant to engage with God for transformation.
Amen.
There is grace
Amen.
For your transformation.
Amen.
You're not supposed to walk
Amen.
Along by yourself.
Amen.
You know, you're supposed to walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay? So that's why I realized.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened to me. At that point, I still had a really nice relationship with the Lord in the sense of God was a punisher. And I didn't run to God for transformation. When actually God is very clear in New Testament, it's very much like, come on, son and daughter, I love you so much. Don't live in the gutter. This is not your inheritance.
Yeah.
That's what God does. But it's gentle. It's love. It's love that never fails. We sang all of that.
Yes.
Don't we? The love that never fails.
Yes.
The love that never gives up even when we get it wrong.
Mm.
It's still there. It's, you're
Amen.
Still covered by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
But come on.
Amen.
Stop living in the gutter.
Amen.
You know, I have died for your sin.
Yes.
Run to the throne of grace. We've got
yes.
this passage, right?
Amen.
Run to the throne of grace. Watch me give you freedom.
Beautiful.
You know, watch me untangling all this stuff was entangling you and the sin and even your hurt, you know, your past life and your scars. Watch me healing all of this.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
You will never be the same again. Let him. That's what it means. Living in the gospel of grace.
Living
in the gospel of grace. So my fifth and final point, thank you, Jamie. Now, this is the last bit of the passage. You see, when Jesus comes, we are released from the guardianship of the law.
Yes.
The law, no accusation. No like, oh, God's going to punish you because I got it. No, because Jesus has taken that. He's taken the punishment in your place. You are released from the guardianship of the law. And actually, Jimmy, if you put that little picture there, it's a really good picture. The old way, you know, it's us and we are, our nature is sinful. And basically the law revealed that. The law revealed our sins, okay? And we are bound to it. We are under the tutoring of the law. But when Christ come, what happened is a transformation of the heart. We're changing from the within. So Christ is in us. We do not have a relationship with the law anymore. The law is in our heart. What we need to do is learn to walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
And we will see that in our series later on in Galatians.
Amen.
We will say, how do you live by the Spirit? Because let's not kid ourselves, we still sin sometimes,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Our nature, what it means is, our nature is we are free of that that hold and that, you know, darkness of sin.
Mm.
We don't have a hold on us. It hasn't have a hold on us. But what we need is change habit, change thought, change our mind to reflect more and more Christ. So we learn to walk in the Spirit, collaborate. We are free now to collaborate with the Holy Spirit for transformation from within.
Amen.
You get it, yeah?
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Yeah, sometimes we mess up, but God loves us enough to provide a way so we don't stay like that.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
We're supposed still to get transformed from glory to glory.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm not excusing sin.
Amen.
I'm just being real.
Beautiful.
Sometimes we do mess up.
Amen.
And we need to run to the throne of grace and
Amen.
Say, God, help me to change.
Yeah.
Help me to change.
Amen. Amen.
But by nature, you're different people. Yes. You are son and daughters of the mighty King.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Son
Hallelujah.
And daughters of the mighty King.
Hallelujah.
So I want to finish this bridge by a picture. Okay. Just imagine, it's not even that it's a lovely picture, but just imagine for a second. Imagine an absolutely grand palace where there's a king living there, okay? And he's the most unbelievable kid because he's good, he's just, he's got compassion, he rules for the best of his people. He wants prosperity for his people.
Yes.
He's very gracious. He's the perfect king that doesn't exist on earth. Mm. But imagine this kingdom where there is a king like that.
Mm.
Okay. The people who don't know the king and are at the gate of the palace, the people who don't know the king, you know, they probably think, oh my gosh, if I want to see the king, I still need to schedule an audience. And if I turn up, I better turn up in my best clothes. I better make sure that my affairs are all in order. I better make sure that I'm respectful when I talk to the king. You know, it's very important. But actually, and I'm a little bit I'm a bit anxious because if I go to see the king, well, I don't know him, so I don't know how he's gonna react to me, okay? So those are very much probably the reaction of the people who are at the gate of the palace, don't you think?
Yes.
They will really think about how they're going to behave in front of this majesty. Now, imagine the king has a son. This son is really bubbly and they absolutely love each other. And do you know what? It's very known to everyone that the son runs into the palace and, you know, even if the king is an audience, you know, the son is going to run and jump in the lap and, you know, the king will still carry on his business, but the son runs pretty much, you know, free to approach the king whenever he wants. It doesn't matter what he dressed like. Actually, it's very known as well for the father sometimes to go and watch his son sleep, you know, and go into the chamber and, you know, there's not such a thing of an interruption or even appropriate time or appropriate attire. The son is not required to follow any rules. He has full access to the king. Full access. The main thing the son needs to be preoccupied with is literally to love his father. And as the process of loving his father, basically make sure he grows, you know, he grows in his inheritance and be all he's been created to be. So he loves his father, and the only thing he has to do is, you know, honor him by being the best future next king. You have this picture?
Yes.
Yeah. Guess what? That's how he was before Jesus, and that's what's happening now. Before Jesus, well, we better make a sacrifice, and where's the goat? Which I've seen, I'm just going to have to kill, you know what I mean? Oh, by the way, can't see God face to face, let's send a priest, you know? And all the people who don't know Jesus, that's pretty much how they think God. Say, oh my gosh, I'm going to church this morning. What shall I wear? Yeah, you get it, right? But now in Jesus, you are son and daughters. You have his DNA, right? You have access to him. You have all the privilege that this young son has. There's not such a thing of rules for you, okay? Pray in your shower if you want, in your pants, that's fine. I mean, you know, I'm provocative in purpose. We still honor him and we still have a lot of awe for him, yeah? We're not casual with our God.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is, you can meet him anytime. Anytime. You do not need a special ceremony, or you didn't need to say, oh my gosh, if I didn't sit with my Bible open, with 5 minutes quiet, that's not a real time with Jesus. No, that's the law. That's the law who says, until you have your 5 minutes with the Bible, you're not a good Christian.
This is good to have a 5 minutes with your Bible, by the way. Yeah? But sometimes my best encounter with Jesus is when I'm driving along. And I'm just driving and I put some worship and God was going to speak to me.
Hallelujah.
So don't limit it, God. You have access whenever you want.
Amen.
He comes in your sleep.
Amen.
He comes in your sleep. He might give you some dreams and vision. He talks to you. You might be watching a movie. A couple of revelations of mine is when I watched a movie. It was not the movie. It's God for the movie. It's like, oh, have you seen that? I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I never realized that about God. And then I find the verse. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it happens. Because we're supposed to have a living relationship.
Amen.
It is in us.
Amen.
It is in us. We have a new nature. We are free from the law. That means we have access. We have access. We're living by grace.
Beautiful.
And by the Spirit. And guess what? We are called to a glorious inheritance.
Amen.
Glorious. So listen, the Christian who are telling you, you know, how to say that and not be nasty. In some churches you go, it's all about avoiding sin. Of course we want to avoid sin. Because there's no good for us. There's always consequences for sin, etc., etc. Okay? But what about living in the glorious inheritance? What about the joy of the Spirit? What about experiencing peace? What about praying and somebody gets healed?
Amen.
We are not called just to avoid sin. Because if you sin, you're going to be punished. That's the relationship with the law.
Amen.
You are called to be transformed.
Hallelujah.
You are called to be sons and daughters of the living God. That's what we're called to. The law is not in our hearts. He will show us what's good and what's not good. And when we know we do wrong, he will prompt by the Spirit and say, ho-ho, you still get angry. What's the matter with you?
Amen.
You say, oh, Father, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I realize I'm still hurt by so-and-so. And when somebody does that, I react. Father, I am repenting. Repenting means changing your mind. So I'm repenting. I do not want to do this anymore. Father, help me.
Yes.
Help me.
Hallelujah.
Show me every time I do it. Show
Amen.
Me so I learn another way. Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Teach me. Holy Spirit, teach you in all truth. Show me a way of being more like you. How can I change?
That's right.
How can I change? You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
All right. So to finish, I really want to pray for all of us. Okay. Is that all right?
Amen.
Right. I felt, when I prepare that, some people have felt, you know, whatever part of the preach, if he resonates with you, I just want to pray for you. Okay. But I felt when I was preparing, maybe there's a bit like me when I was a teenager, you still feel a bit of a relationship with the Lord that you're thinking, if you've not done X, Y, Z, God is going to punish me, He's not going to bless me in my life. When something bad happened in your life, you say, that's it. That's because God is punishing. No, God has already done that. He's already dealt with that. He's not a punisher. That's wrong. That's the law. But you're free from the law. Is there for your blessing. So you just need to learn how to run to the throne of grace. So if it's that you, I want to pray that Holy Spirit would come in your heart and help you to change. And then you would see as well, you would have a revelation that God is good and He loves you. He loves you. Okay? And then another thing is, maybe you didn't quite realize that you could have this relationship of son and daughter with God, that you have an inheritance. Maybe you've been living in that side of, it's all about avoiding sins and being good. But actually, you've not realized you could be intimate with the King. You can know the King. You can know His goodness. You can be more and more like Him. By the way, just a little parenthesis. If you have had harsh parents, okay, or sometimes
there's a tendency to project what our parents are like to God. So basically, we feel it, we're finding, oh, that's really hard to believe God is really good and he's not going to punish us, because all we've known is punishment. Okay? And that's very common. That's very common. So if you have had issues of, you know, actually you don't quite know how it is to sit on the lap of your father, you didn't have this closeness, do you know what? Father wants you to know that. Think about the prodigal son, how he runs, how he runs down the hill and cover his son with a robe and give a ring and sandals. How he was eager to impress his son. That's the father. That's the picture of the father, guys. So all you have to do is say, Father, I repent. I have this wrong perception of you. I changed my mind. I repent, you know, to see you as a punisher, or I repent to see you as this distant, you know, in French we say père fouettard. Do you remember that? Père fouettard. We say that. You know, it's basically this old grumpy man, you know, on a cloud who's come to punish you. If you see God like that, repent and say, no, I know it's not you, God, but I need you to change my whole mind and my whole way of seeing you. Because you know what? If you have a père fouettard mentality, if you have a mentality that God is a punisher, even the way you read the Bible, that's how you will read it.
Amen.
You will read it as he's punishing you.
Amen.
I can guarantee. And the tone of what you hear will be different, because you have the wrong lens on how God is.
That's right.
So let's pray now. If you want to stand, that's fine. If you want to remain seated, that's completely fine. Holy Spirit, I just simply ask you to come right now. Lord, just pray for my brother and sister. And if you need to repent, just repent. Run to the throne of grace. Run to the throne of grace for the sin that still entangled you. Run through the throne of grace for the hurt of the past. Run through the throne of grace for the grace you need today to see God as this absolutely wonderful King. For changing your mind, we say, Holy Spirit, we give you permission to come in our hearts, to reveal the heart of God, to reveal Jesus in us. We say we will no longer strive by our own effort, because we cannot make ourselves righteous by our own effort. We cannot do it, Jesus. We just ask you to come for our own transformation. We say, come and transform us by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We pray that your gospel of grace will come for fruit in our life.
Amen.
Your gospel of grace will produce the fruit of the new birth.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, apple tree produce apple.
Yes.
Amen. We pray that the Son of God will produce the fruit of the Son.
Amen.
Amen.
We just pray for that, Lord. In the name of Jesus we say,
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.